from the heart of Los Angeles. This is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, gamification adventurist Tyler Bell.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest Rush Dorsett. I am Mark Lejeune, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I thought I was so clever today. Our episode is titled Harnessing Play to Empower Your Life. So, I was inspired, that title is inspired by our guest, and I was inspired by our guest, who helps people defy their beliefs about what is possible and shows them how to gamify their life, amongst other things. And then, when I was speaking with our performance guest, we talked about how not only does she help her voice students find their authentic voice, she helps them play with it. So, when we were publicizing the show and we got to publicizing the performance guest, I came up with this word that our performance guest will be playforming live. And so I wrote playforming in the publicity. And I thought, I think I just invented a word. I just coined a word. So I started, I was excited. I went online because I'm thinking this is a word that needs to be heard, that needs to be said, that needs to be used. We need to play form. We need to play, I don't know. Maybe there are other words that can come from that idea. So I looked and I looked and I didn't find, and then I did. I found a couple use cases, actually. Not a lot, but a couple where play forming is being used. And I thought, huh, so it's always, well, it's been there for a while. Who knows how long, but it's been there. Somebody used it. Somebody thought of it. Somebody's been saying it. Maybe I might have even heard it, but it didn't register, or I haven't used it, or nobody in my circle has used it. And so I bring that up because, in a sense, some of the things that we talk about, certainly on the Life Changes Show, and that we're going to talk about today, have been around, and we might have just forgotten. As a matter of fact, play has been around. As a matter of fact, I used to remember when I used to play, and I used to know it was play, and I used to call it play. I'm going to go outside and play. As a matter of fact, I knew how to say it in at least two other languages. That's how important it was that I was communicating how we're playing here. And somehow, in my world for sure, and potentially in a lot of our worlds, we've forgotten how or to make time for, or potentially it's not even making time for, like maybe there's a whole way of thinking that play could be, would be, should be part of our life. And we could potentially be not only playforming, but playing through life, play-lifing, and potentially play-working. What a concept.
Play-working. You'll have to explain a little more.
No, I think that one's self-explanatory.
Well, yeah, it is, but it's not intuitively embraced. Right. I have tried and
you have
failed multiple times of bringing play into corporate environments. And it's amazing how resistant people are to crossing over from the programs of, if I don't do this, or if I don't work harder, if I don't work a certain way, it's not corporate, it's only business. You know, whatever the case may be. I learned it first from Dave Peterschmidt at Inktomi back during the dot-com era, because at that time there was a battle between the bankers raising all the money and he and his team wanting to leave the students at Berkeley alone, let them have their, he called it bubblegum culture, let them have their fun, let them be who they are, and then let us, you know, benefit from their work, quotes, from that capacity.
Wow.
And it worked very well for a while.
And isn't that the irony, that the play actually benefited the work?
Yeah, well, then it goes bigger conversation, right? It was play, it was maintaining creativity, and more importantly, it was retaining the authenticity, which is what I think it really comes down to.
We're going to be talking about all of that today as much as we can, and I can't wait to, again, Harnessing Play to Empower Your Life is the title of our episode. It happens to be our episode 840. And our interview guest is an adventurer, a futurist, a gamification adventurist, and so much more. Welcome, Tyler Bell, to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tyler, didn't you say you were obsessed with something recently that was all about 12 something or other and the 12 and da da da? I just happened to notice our episode 840 adds up to 12. So,
yes, the 144.
There you have it. Oh, that's right. And that's and that too. So, you know, interestingly, had the pleasure, well, I've known about you for a long time through Mark and your acquaintance and your working together and all that, and finally got to connect with you. We talked for quite a while, and I enjoyed our conversation. It was so much fun. And then we also talked again just before the show. We never actually talked about the show.
You're right.
And I thought, that's the thing, isn't it? In that play, we got to know each other.
I loved it.
I loved it too. Thank you. So let's not talk about the show. Let's just keep going.
Why shall we when we can dance? Let's go. Okay.
Ooh, ooh, nice. Well, so, and you have tuned into this for a long, long time, as if you came out or came into this world with this concept. So, how far back do you remember that play and like seeing things differently was what you're about?
I remember in my early childhood, and I questioned everything. I wondered why we had to take everything so seriously. Oh. And I grew up dancing, I grew up acting, and I grew up performing in many respects, and also creating and crafting and just designing the world away. But what I loved, one of the things I loved the most, was that my parents, being middle children, I guess, perhaps, allowed me to question reality and why I did things. It didn't mean that they didn't hone in on saying, like, no, you have to do this this way and go and go. But they still allowed for the questioning. And I was curious. I was curious about everything. I was curious about, like, why do I have to do ballet? But I like to play baseball, you know, like, why, you know, just like, and why do I have to get a liberal arts degree when that person is running a company? Like, I didn't correlate things to the very same program that most of us have been subjected to. And I liked that they allowed me to wonder. And so that has always been like a driving force in me, is like the wonder and the curiosity. Because that's when everything started to come. Is like, okay, this is where the adventure comes in. This is where the excitement comes in. If I can believe in magic, it exists, you know. But if I were to doubt it, if I wasn't allowed to question it or wonder about it, it would have just diminished.
Mm. Like Mark was talking about the corporate world earlier, you've worked in the corporate world and you've tried to bring some of this in a different way, and you've pushed it through in finding ways, creative ways to make things happen that others weren't seeing. What inspired that? Were you trying to be different? Were you thinking you're being you? I bet you the answer is
yes. And instead of the word, but, curiosity always was a driving force, because there is a way to look at things inquisitively within a workspace. But gosh knows, I consider myself to be a corporate flight risk. I haven't stayed in a job very long in any respect because I was always so curious about the next thing I could learn and the next thing I could learn and the next thing I could do. And so to just be in a job for me was never really my design. However, I could take what I learned from all of the different jobs, almost like a polymath, kind of like learning in an autodidact, learning on my own, to the next level where I was saying, I can be of help, I can be of service, and I can bring everything I've ever learned into this now moment. And so play was definitely a part of it because I said, well, why can't we make this fun? Like, why can't we make it enjoyable? Like, why can't, and I would flip things on its head a little and people enjoyed it a lot more. I noticed that within my production realm and when I worked in entertainment, of course. I mean, entertainment can be entertainment, but it can also be very serious. But if we look at it through the lens of saying, like, how can we inspire and empower others? I changed up, how do we create this entire photo shoot or this fashion show or do something different? And everyone walks away feeling inspired and empowered. And most of the time, it's just a paycheck. Most of the time, that's all we're actually geared into is what we've been told, what we can do, and how we're supposed to do it. And I just felt like, well, why? Sorry, I'm going to still question it. And so when I looked at the corporate world, and even when I'm embarking on today, and the people I'm working with, I mean, very serious level topics, very serious level things, and yet we want to play and have fun as heck with it. Like, we're talking like DARPA, AI, robotics, you know, things that most people are like, oh, and they see like the dark, dark, sinister side of it. And I'm like, no. Well, what if we can be the guiding force into something good, benevolent, and actually empowering that actually helps humanity? So anyway, I just look at things a little different and I like to flip scripts. It's like reframing on the inner work that we do. You know, if we take a negative situation, we find the lesson. It's the same thing when it comes to wonder and curiosity in the corporate world.
Hmm. Is there a place you start, like you have a sense of we're going to go this way with this, or you just go and then see where you're taken?
Well, I field it. So oftentimes the best way that I work is just, I listen to other people's stories. Oh, hold on. That's my daughter, because, you know, I am a mother as well. Hold on.
And you're listening to her story right now.
So, yeah, I oftentimes work best when I listen and hear other people's stories and where they're at. And then I make an intuitive connection. And I will just like say, okay, I know you and you and you are supposed to connect and work together, or you and you are supposed to just work. And so sometimes it's just guided intuitively because more of flow state. Oftentimes it is a mix. So it's like a fielding of like a collective consciousness, like where's everyone at? And what are they, what's the pulse? And then from there, then everything kicks off. It's sort of like, I look at it like a visual thesaurus learning mind map. And I don't know how to say it. Like, I've been looking for a video that could like extrapolate this like vision I've had in my mind of like
how. You might have to create it. I don't know.
I think I'm going to have to. But I've seen something very similar. Like, it was like so close, but it was like a piece of a video. And I'm like going, yes. And I'm like, oh, okay. How do I take that and put it into that? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to like work with AI probably at this point, like just to like get this to this next level of how my mind works. But I've been able to do it forever.
So it's not just how your mind works. You also obviously are connected, like you said, in intuition. From a childhood, I didn't think we were going to talk about this, but we did talk about it during our play calls. You talk about the tingles.
Oh no, not the tingles.
Can we
Sorry.
talk about them?
Let's rephrase.
Oh, tinglies. Oh, right, the
So I was
tinglies.
about like 5 years old when I coined the name. So I've
And
been
that one
waiting.
you did coin.
Yes, I did. The tinglies, because I didn't know any other way to say it. And so I was watching like a Broadway production, very young. And all of a sudden, like this sensation came over my entire body, and it stemmed from like my core, and within like a nanosecond, radiated up and down. And I felt akin to perfection. Like I didn't know how to describe it. I just knew I felt perfect. I felt everything. And it was wondrous. And there's been different phenomenon, and it's been reported on the internet. If you want to Google your butt off, you can find it on Reddit. Different people have had different phenomenon. Frisson is another word that some people will call it. And yeah, I called it the tinglies because I didn't know any better way to describe it. And I actually feel that what I'm describing is even more than frisson. When not only I would see someone sing and hear certain music or sing myself, which this is what I really love Rush, and I'm excited that she's going to be on later.
Yeah.
About is that I actually felt a oneness. And not everyone describes that in frisson. It's like, yeah, it's a sensation, but it's like a oneness. Like you are no longer yourself. You are more than okay. Doesn't matter what you're going through. And I was dealing with like a life-threatening like illness at a certain point, and glee just happened to be very prominent in society, and I was watching it with my headphones on, and I could still feel it and I could still see it just because I was like tuning in and I'm listening to the music, but I'm watching the singing. And even though I know it's like dubbed to a certain degree, it didn't matter, but I could see it and I could hear it and I could feel it. And then now years later, I learned how to hone it and harness it. And that's where it took flight, because it no longer became an observer effect where I felt like a tuning fork. I learned that if I used my imagination and I honed in and I grounded and centered myself, I can create it. And I was like, oh, ooh, okay. Now it's not just a power outside of me, it's a power within me. Oh, I'm co-creating this together. Okay, that's different. But ever since I was like five, I called it the tinglies because I tingled. I mean, head to toe felt perfect. Like, I'm like, what is this? This is like magic. And I didn't know how to describe it any other way.
Listening to you describe it, it sounds like you are that child, that you have that innocence about it and awe about it. Speaking of awe, actually, that is one of the words you used. You harness the powers of awe and wonder for systemic change, innovation, and decentralization. Is that potentially where this? Is that the thread or are other
Absolutely.
elements? Okay.
No, absolutely. Because it's when we actually can harness those powers and we take away like the centralized power from, let's call it, the powers that were, we can actually impact change. And that's what I'm working on now. And those are the types of people I'm working with today, is we see what has been abused and misused in positions of what's quote quote authority. And we can actually instill and impact shifts and changes by using games and gamification and are also really cool technologies that our collective currently has created, and even the inventions that are on the forefront to shift the whole entire narrative. And then that's where I like to play in, because I'm like, oh no, this is a space where we can't think the same way anymore. And in futurism, in future, people call it futurist, whatever. And that's a, I guess it's a coin phrase, but it's just someone who can see beyond the regular paradigm that looks just a little outside the scope and outside the box. I mean, I can get very philosophical, very theological, very spiritual, and a lot of other things right now. But I can say it's already done as long as we can see it. Everything before us now was a thought. So everything we're using today, everything we're experiencing today was a thought at one point. So anything we can dream about or conceive or perceive, it's already possible. It's just, how do we get from here to there? And so one of the things I consider in my world is that I'm like, I'm a bridge builder and I like to make impact a little sexy. So
okay.
I know there are audiences right now that would adopt everything I would drop on a hat that are already there. However, I would rather it be a little bit more accessible to people who may be just a little bit curious and maybe not have the access to the audience that might accept it right now.
Well, not having the access, there's a big gap potential there. Like not even knowing there's a desire or understanding a need, or even knowing how to tap our toe into it. Where does one start?
Well, this is where it gets a little bit fun for me, because
it's been fun for me this whole time. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. So I look at it like a lot of people have a little inner guidance system. Well, we all do, but it's this little nudge. It's like something just feels a little, I don't know. I'm curious. I don't even know where to go. And so demand marketing and the ability to create something that appeals to that inner, I don't know what's calling me, but I know it's there. That's where I like to play, because that is the realm of, I know something is possible. I just don't know how to get there. And so one of the beautiful ways that we can get there, funny enough, is through storytelling, entertainment, and technology, at least the ones that we know today. And this is where, if it's done, I call it properly, I don't know if properly is the right word, but I would say with a flair of fun and whimsy and rewards and game, you know, we can actually bring a lot of people in to a new realm just because they want to engage. And if you can create a place that people desire to engage, they feel they can get rewarded, they can feel they can make a contribution, and also have autonomy in doing so, that's where people can say, oh, well, I'm already doing this already, but I can actually make a contribution. Oh, cool. Oh, and I can get rewarded. Oh, cool. And suddenly they're part of a new matrix. They're part of a new system. It's a new ecosystem, new way of thinking, a new way of being, but they weren't doing anything different. One of the biggest issues in the game world and the gameplay world is if people try to change the controller, you know, and they're like, I'm going to put XY over here and I'm going to do AB over here. Uh-uh. No, you're going to completely throw everyone off. They're going to leave and they are not going to come back. Similarly, in real life, I would say not in a game scenario, you can't try to change someone's behavior outright. Like to actually create a mass adoption of change, the bridge has to be something that they're already doing. Otherwise, they're going to say, oh, well, that's like perpendicular to my thinking. That is out there. It's hard to go and come by. Limiting beliefs come in like rapid fire. and now you have an imposing council without even starting. And I'm like, well, why would anyone want that? And so I look at how can we help instill a sense of safety and trust and excitement at the same time. And that's where really good gameplay, gamification comes in to any of our already behaviors. And if you can take that to now, to what we're doing, and then like just slowly transition others into a new way of being, That's the bridge. That's the bridge into any of the systems. Like, a lot of people don't go into blockchain or these decentralized systems because they're like, huh? I have to learn what? I have to know what? How? You know, it's such an onboarding process. It's overwhelming.
At least right now, sure.
Yeah, right now. But if it was made easy in a path that was fun and simple and it's gradual and even like seamless. Like, what if it was a seamless process? Would we even balk? No, not at all. We'd be like, bye. You know, like out with that old system. I'm into the new. And what I feel a lot of these beautiful solutionaries and people who are on the cutting edge of the next level paradigm shift of everything we're doing is that that bridge needs to be there. And that's where I feel that play can help a lot in that transition.
As I'm thinking about this very conversation here on the Life Changer Show with you, Tyler Bell, is for many people listening, potentially that dipping the toe in and that becoming aware of how important this is. And you inspired a phrase as I'm listening to you that, as Mark was saying, a lot of people look at play like joking around, you know, stop playing. We're serious here and this is business and it means a lot of money to the company, whatever the case may be. And so, what I was inspired to solidify in my mind based on what you were saying is that we don't gamify it or we don't play because we don't care. We play or try and find a playful way to work with it because we do care.
Yes, that's exactly it. We care so much that we want it to be fun. We want it to be seamless. And so we want to actually shift how we're doing things now. If we stay in the current, let's call it a very linear scope of things, we will end up in circles. And I will tell you, a lot of billions of dollars have ended up in those circles. From experience. And that's nowhere to be. I mean, we can solve all of humanity's problems if we just got out of that same mindset and same path. So, a lot of us care so much that we're willing to embark upon new grounds. What we're up against right now is a lot of mentalities that have been so, I mean, through no fault of their own. More of an indoctrinated culture that we have to do step A, step B, step C, step D, go A, and we go off into these little tangents of what we know. But has anything in our reality been ever what we truly know? Like, and anything that has been really game changing been through what we've ever done before? No, we never. Not at all. That's why I challenged things and I questioned things when I was a kid, because I was like, wait, why do I have to do this and this and this when this and this and this is happening? You know, and I would see these like people who are entrepreneurs who own companies who are doing this and that, and I didn't understand the mentality that it took to get there from one other mentality that was just traditional. And no offense to anyone who wants to go to college or get a job, I'm totally for it. And that just was not what I was thinking like I needed to do. And that just means like it is an option to do, not the only way to do. And so a lot of times people shoo-shoo and poo-poo the play aspect of things and the gamification aspect of things because, well, heck, we weren't taught that. Just like we weren't taught a lot of fundamentals about a lot of things about reality growing up. So,
True that.
yeah.
What you're connecting to a thought that I wanted to make sure we touched on, actually, that I read that you wrote the difference between how we are children in adult bodies, right? And so if you want to elaborate, or should I finish the sentence that I read?
Go for it.
There is a difference between maturity, which stems from wisdom, and I should say, quote unquote, adulting, which stems from obligation. Share
Yeah.
with us on that.
Yeah. So we can gain wisdom and be absolute mature adults. Like, we've had experiences, we've lived lifetimes. I mean, gosh knows, I look young. I have had like many lifetimes in this lifetime, never mind any past ones. I don't even care to go back there. But when it comes to adulting, that's another word. It's like, man, we all feel like we're obligated to live this cookie cutter life, this lifestyle, and especially in like first world countries where hustle, grind, do, be productive, must go now. And can I also say burnout, wipe out, like failure, not because you didn't succeed, but because you might even have millions in the bank and you feel absolute like you are not worthy. And wait, what? What is the innermost truth? And I find it all stems back to the truth of like who we are as children and how do we parent our inner child and how do we take care of ourselves now? Because that is a different story than adulting. That is a different story because the obligation world, we can do that all day long and we could actually get absolutely nowhere. But yet, the wisdom we can take from even just allowing ourselves and giving ourselves permission to just be, breathe, actually stop, just stop, rest. Guess what? You can actually make a lot more money resting. Just letting you know.
Now
and not doing and being
that's
caught
just
up.
crazy.
No, right? Oh my God, we gotta have a whole show on that. And so, but it's really where the wisdom comes from is not in the doing.
You know, Tyler, we were talking about your grandmother earlier, and I don't know her, so it might not be her, but can we hear like a mature adult saying, or we can hear, I can hear many of them saying, you gotta work, you gotta get a job, you know, stop this whatever silliness you're doing.
Yeah, no, I heard it.
Oh, you.
And I heard it, and it wasn't from my grandmother, no. And that's okay. My grandmother was not quite, she was actually a little bit more entrepreneurial, I have to admit. However, I did hear it in my life because it was just so stereotypical, growing up in high school and you had to get the right, program to get into the school that you wanted to get into. And then from there, you got the scholarship and then from there you would go. And well, I screwed that all up. And that's a fun story for another day. But let's just say that's when, after a year of university, changing my major and doing really great, being on the dean's list, I decided that, heck, I'm going to go into the military just because, well, I don't want to know my parents for me to change my mind 10 times because this wasn't cut out for me. And I knew then that they had the best interest they had, and they had the biggest heart that they had, and I'm so grateful that they had it, and that's what they knew. However, I knew that I wanted to embark upon a journey that was my own, and I didn't want to put it on them.
How interesting to think that it's not just hard enough to break away from whatever is the system or the thought processes or the program or the education, and that we embark into something and we think, oh, we're doing this, and yet we still hold on to in the back of our mind, is somebody going to be proud of us? Are we doing the right thing? We haven't made a million yet, or whatever, that maybe they are right. All of those things. What if we didn't have that? Would we be potentially having that much more fun and maybe even creating new systems?
I feel we would. However, I also feel that throughout our lives, at many different stages, we encounter areas where we feel scared to be seen. And this is where we suppress aspects of ourselves. And it can happen in early childhood. It can happen in teen land. It can happen in adulthood as well. And I feel that this is where, if we are allowed and given permission to really delve into that and then feel safe, that's the turning point. That's the big shift. Because if we feel safe in any area where we can feel seen and be our authentic selves, That's where I at least had a glimpse of it when I decided I'm going into the military. I was like, I'm just going to be me and I'm going to try this because it's not on them anymore and I can just do this and I don't need their permission. I didn't realize how much that was a funny thought considering they had to also sign off on everything. But hey, at the moment, it was a brilliant idea. And then after I got them to opt in, wow, were they supportive? You know, and then I felt like I had wings under me, like to just go and try something different, absolutely new. But I had to feel the conviction in my heart for them to feel it too. And I feel that that's a case that every single person, especially adult, really has right now is that we have to feel the conviction first. We have to believe in ourselves first. We have to love ourselves first. And this is where we can kind of what I call the dance, if you want to call it cha-cha. A couple steps forward, couple steps back. You remember our power, we forget. We remember, we forget. We remember, we forget, and we do this dance. And if we could only just keep going forward, that would be great. However, isn't it grand that we have this life to experience all of it? And yes, it can be uncomfortable. Yes, it can be downright, I will just say fun, challenging. And I'll give it a nicer words than I would like to explain right now. But those are the moments where the contrast is the beauty because this is where it's at. Because those are the moments where if we are doing that dance and remembering and forgetting and remembering and forgetting, we can come forward and we feel freer than ever. No program can hold us back. Because it's now our own. Because we're honoring ourselves. That's the whole point. And so for bouts of all of our lives, and I know for myself, I've allowed myself to feel it and honor it and then go through the whole forget period. I'm like, but and then remember again. And I like where I'm at now more than I have been in my past because I know I can tell the better story.
I know you're there with your daughter, and I was thinking for a moment, I wonder how she's teaching this to her daughter, because surely she is. And then I had a thought, well, her daughter might actually already be there. And it's not a matter of teaching her, but letting her grow up in that.
Yeah, I agree there. 'Cause she teaches me all the dang time. And I'm
Nice.
the like the wisdom drops come in and you're like, "What?" And I
Nice.
actually had to report on one the other day because it was all about like, "Oh mom, we saw a black wasp at the school today." And I'm like, "Oh, Kaylee killed it." "Oh, is that a good thing?" "No, it's not." Because the wasp had a family and now the family's gonna miss the wasp. And I'm like, "Wait, what?" And I'm like, and then I thought like all of a sudden like this dropped in for me. Like I'm just like, you know, oftentimes people like, you know, often hurt others because they perceive they're going to get hurt first. And so I was like, all of a sudden, like this, like little wisdom nugget. I'm like, and then I all of a sudden, I was just, I heard myself. I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh. And then she reports back, yeah, it really wasn't funny, mom, because, you know, now their family's going to miss them. I'm like, what? This is like my little daughter, like, just is like, she's saying this, but she meant it. And I was like, yeah. And here I am saying the exact same thing that we all think about regularly. Why are people hurting one another? Well, oftentimes it's the fear that they're going to get hurt. And so they project it first and they hurt others. And I'm like, going, wow. Okay. Wisdom of a 7-year-old. Let's go.
Wisdom of Tyler Bell. Tyler, thank you for sharing as you have. We have several links for where people can actually learn about your work, although I feel like this is such a big part of your work. In the meantime, we do have links and we do have your bio and your beautiful picture. Where else would you send them, or where specifically do you want people to go to learn more about you and what you're doing?
Pretty much You can reach me on the LinkedIn and then Facebook. Like, that's my normal spaces. So I can be reached on pretty much every platform. I tend to be on everything. I just don't respond as frequently.
Okay. Well, they're all there. Basically, Tyler Bell, TylerBell, and then Tyler Kennedy Bell on Facebook. Tyler, what a pleasure getting to know you. Sounds like, feels like this is just the beginning, and I look forward to so much more.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. The pleasure is ours. And Mark, as I was talking to her, I was thinking of so many things that you have said over the years, how you have been on this track of we need to bring play, and you've used playground. And I was thinking Tyler could be out there like with a talk about this, like out of the corporate box into the playground.
Well, that's what we've been doing. Tyler and I have been talking about this and venting it and for many years. And she was there listening as I was learning from Jet, my son. Which similarly to what she was talking about with the dynamic with her daughter. Trying to build play back into the consciousness of the people around you, because our society has created a repetitive scenario that, you know, kind of beats the play out of the individual or the team. So it's imperative to gently start to soften up and you know, allow it back in.
It's interesting you say that, because as soon as you said Jet, I pictured him as he is now pretty much an adult, but a young man for sure. And that period is so short of that time when it's kids and genuine play and genuine curiosity and all that before it does get, I don't know, beat out, but unfortunately, well, that might be a good word.
In some cases, that's the case, but you know, emotionally, you know, beaten out of us. I'll refer you back to when we did the years at a local school with a group called What If 360, and it was basically TED Talks, but it was stunning to me. We worked from the kindergarten all the way up through the eighth grade, and there was a clear, very clear moment between, I think it was, you know, third and fourth maybe, where the creative capacity, the ability to play was suddenly turned off.
Yeah.
And to we cut to the point where we worked with the adults that night, and the adults were the worst, because they're like, what are we, do I need to put it in columns? Mm. Do I need to put, you know, what are the rules?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that to mind. Actually, these are great conversations. And again, more to come. And speaking of more to come, it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Marcia, and Mother's Day is coming up soon, and I have been a little depressed as I have two children and love them both with all of my heart. I am so proud of my daughter, as she has created a wonderful life for herself. She has also taken on the job of supporting her older brother, as he is not in good mental health. My son calls to yell at me, and he blames me for all of his troubles. This has made me wonder how I could have failed with him and yet done so well with her. My son refuses to listen to me. So my question is, how do I make peace with his behavior?
Dear Marcia, thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing something so tender and complex. What you're going through touches the deep emotional core for many parents. The ache of loving your children, each so fully and yet seeing such different outcomes. It's even harder when one child turns their pain on you, leaving you questioning yourself, your choices, and your worth as a parent. Please know that you have not failed. Raising two children, both shaped by the same love, guidance, and care, and seeing them walk such different paths is not a sign of failure. It's a reminder that our children are their own people, influenced by far more than just us. Mental health challenges, in particular, are shaped by a mix of biology, life events, relationships, and internal struggles that parents cannot control. Your son is hurting, and unfortunately, in his pain, he's found someone to blame, you. But his blame isn't the truth. It's the expression of his distress, his unmet needs, and possibly his inability to take responsibility. It doesn't mean you are to blame. Making peace with his behavior doesn't mean accepting it as truth. It means finding a way to protect your heart while still holding compassion for him and for yourself. Let's begin by you choosing to acknowledge your feelings honestly. It's okay to feel sadness, guilt, anger, and even grief. You're allowed to mourn the relationship you wish you had with him, even as you look for healing. And it is very important for you to create boundaries that honor your well-being. You don't have to endure verbal abuse. Loving him doesn't mean accepting mistreatment. You can let him know that you're there if and when he's ready to talk respectfully and step back otherwise. And please understand that it's natural to ask what you could have done differently. Reflect if it helps you grow, but don't stay in the space of self-blame. Remember, you did the best you could with what you knew and had at the time. And let's remember that sometimes peace comes not from words or fixing things, but from small, consistent acts of love, whether it's sending a message, holding space, or simply continuing to care from a distance, and talking to his higher self from your higher self. I intuit that you are a deeply caring, introspective, and loving parent. That alone is powerful evidence that you are not the failure your son accuses you of being. So please love yourself through the process of letting go of the need to change or fix him. I trust you will find peace in your heart no matter how he behaves.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And with that, we have our performance segment with our performer who is a, or playformer, who is a singer. She's a songwriter. She's the founder of Embodied Voice Coaching. She's a, an operatic soprano. Welcome, Rush Dorsett, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much for having me. What an honor to be here.
It's our pleasure, and it was Tyler who suggested that you would make a great performance guest, and as we've gotten to know you, we couldn't agree more. And so, interestingly enough, Tyler also mentioned how she was studying ballet, but she wanted to study or play baseball. Did you want to study opera?
Actually, I did.
Okay.
Been interested in other genres. So the creative process has always been fascinating for me. But something that I always was drawn to about opera is the full body resonance that I get to experience as a singer. That's one of my favorite parts about it.
Nice. There's a lot of structure in opera. Physical and musical. And so tell us, is that something that came natural to you, or is the more free-flowing more natural for you?
That's an interesting question. I feel that both are natural for me in different ways. So I think that the free flow is more where my heart is. And I find that when I'm just practicing on my own, that's the space I love to be in, is just flowing and improvising melodies. But when it comes to, you know, studying a structure like opera, I found a lot of joy and satisfaction in that as well. I find that the two are kind of like a yin and yang. They come together and balance one another.
You know, when we're studying opera, as I did, and I know you did and teach actually, it's interesting how you talked about how to find your authentic voice. Why is that an issue, especially with opera singers? One would think they're learning how to sing with their authentic voice, but no?
I love that you have the background in opera as well, so you deeply understand this. Oh, and you can hear it in your beautiful speaking voice. Oh,
and I did say, but no. I should have said, but no. It's definitely no.
But yes, oh my goodness. So when I was studying, I was constantly thinking about, well, who am I as an artist? I'm playing these roles. I'm singing this music written by these incredible composers. But who am I? And why am I singing? Why? Why is this important? Why does this matter? And I've been on that journey of inquiry, and the idea of the authentic voice I love to think of it as it awakens and it arrives through opening up your resonance. So yes, vocal technique is like one tool to help us open up our body, like our physical anatomy, so that the fullness of the voice can come through. But then there's so much more. There's the emotional aspects. There's the energetic aspects. There is the creative flow. And so I think that having all of these different ways to express and play in your authentic voice is ideal. So I think that just structure and technique is one aspect of it that can help.
Well, we're about to hear one aspect of the many genres that you are an expert at performing in and creating. And this is new material. Actually, this piece is not out yet. It's part of an album that you're in the process of making. So I'm excited because you're going to do it for the first time here for the world. It's a world premiere on the Life Changes show. And also, you're going to do it live for us. So tell us about the genre of music, if it's describable, before we hear the song.
Well, thanks for opening that up, the possibility that it may not be described. and so, you know, I love this episode. I loved everything that Tyler was sharing about today as well. And so with this creative process of creating my own music, it has been, I've been wondering, what is this genre? And I'm okay with being in that unknown at this point, which is a whole new thing for me. But if I could describe it in words, I would say that it is it's a lush soundscape with melodies and harmonic lines. And it's about transformational themes, the lyrics are.
Okay, so you are going to be, you have a soundtrack of this already recorded, right?
Yes.
And you're going to be singing live for us here on the Life Changes show. Okay, well, here it is. And it's called Into the Light. And here is Rush Dorsett performing her piece on the Life Changes show.
Thank you.
Rush Dorsett and her song Into the Light. Now, that was the radio version. And so when the album comes out, there's going to be a full-length version. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm going to spell your name for everybody. R-U-S-H-D-O-R-S-E-T-T. So you can find her at rushdorsett.com. And of course, we have all her links also on the Life Changes Show page for her. But basically, she's on the socials with her name, Rush Dorsett. And Rush, the process of helping others find their authentic voice or embody their voice or gain confidence in their voice, is that something that you needed and you learned and now you can help others, or you always had it?
It's something that I definitely needed.
Okay.
I used to be terrified of singing in front of other people. Creating my own music and sharing it would absolutely terrify me. And so through a process of really, it's a lot of deep somatic work. So a lot of it, I actually use chakras. So I use that language in my teaching because it's just a helpful tool to understand, okay, if I can get into my root center, you know, and I can get grounded, I can create safety in my body, I can calm my nervous system, and I can create a more grounded tone in my voice. And then likewise, let's say I was getting into solar plexus and I wanted to bring in more soulfulness. I wanted to get that belting sound. I wanted to, you know, sing from my core. I would utilize that area. Same thing with heart, you know, expressing from the heart. So those tools are so intuitive, and I love using them in order to, you know, find really what's within, what actually wants to be expressed. What is this creative life force energy flowing through? And I love helping people access that for themselves as well.
And how do you feel that helps them either in their singing? Obviously, potentially they might sound better, but helps them in their singing and maybe even helps them in their life.
Oh my goodness. Yes. It is amazing. Well, a lot of my method comes from the yoga voice method. So I had an amazing mentor who, when we attended master classes and we were supporting singers in, you know, we would bring in a yoga posture, we would bring in a mantra, we would bring in all these different, you know, vocal techniques. It was a mix of things. And the way that their voices opened up was absolutely stunning. And it could be for singing an aria from an opera, and it could also be for a jazz song or any genre. It all applied. And then likewise in life, you know, somebody who, let's say, is really nervous about getting on stage or making that talk on a stage, for example, or even leading a meeting, let's say somebody's in corporate and wants to have more confidence in their voice, having tools to tap into your body and open up the resonance of your voice, let your voice come out the way that you intend, makes such a huge difference for the listener and also for your own experience of sharing.
Speaking of your own experience, I just realized you were saying how you were terrified of singing or whatever the word you used, and that you, especially sharing your own music. You just shared your own music and sang it live on international radio. How do you feel?
Oh my God, so nervous. But
you didn't sound
nervous.
But you know
what? Thank you. But fortunately, I the nerves, I have a new relationship with the nerves now.
Ah.
Where it's they become excitement, actually. And there's some fun science that shows that nervousness is actually the same physiological phenomenon as excitement, and it's really the way that our brains interpret that sensation in the body. So I just started saying to myself, I am so excited to be here. I'm just thrilled.
And we're excited to have you. You did great. And we're going to get to hear one more piece. Now, this is entirely different. As a matter of fact, if anybody wants to hear you sing, well, I was going to say opera. Well, you're definitely on YouTube singing opera, and potentially they can come see you live. But we did post the Pani Sanjelikus on our webpage. At least that's what's there now. If you want us to change it, we could do that. But that's operatic. It's not an opera piece, but it definitely is operatic and very beautiful. And so now we'll get to hear a different genre. Do you have a title for this yet?
Yes. Okay, so this is actually... Earlier when we were chatting, I was telling you that I had this soundscape sound healing track. Uh-huh. And then when I was thinking about it, I actually wanted to get your take because I actually have a project that I am so actually genuinely excited to
not nervous, excited.
I'm not nervous. I'm actually excited. And it has a music video along with it. And it's really a deep passion project. And it just dawned on me, you know what? I should share a little bit of that. And I do sing and improvise live with that one. So I would love to share that.
Okay. And what is that called?
Yeah, that one is called Unity.
Perfect.
This is, yes, and right, we've been talking about unity in this episode, so it just seems right. And this, I must give credit to my two collaborators, Michael Polzin and Brad Cray. They're based in North Carolina, and they're nice, incredible producers and musicians in their own right, and this has been a wonderful collaboration for the three of us to put together this music video and this album. And yeah, so it's about unity consciousness, and I'd love to share with you just a short bit of it because it's quite a long track, but I'll give you a good portion of it.
Well, very good. And this is going to be live as well. Here is our performance guest, Rush Dorset, and her piece along with her collaborators, Unity.
Thank you.
Dorset. Thank you so much. Again, RUSHDORSETT, find her on the socials and find her at rushdorset.com. Rush, you did it. We did it. So great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for hosting. Thank you for all that you do. It's just such an honor to be here and to share. Thank you all for listening as well.
Our pleasure. So thank you for sharing. All the best to you and to your clients. Of course, people can go and learn about you and hear your music, but they can also work with you, and they can find you again at the socials and the website. So thank you to Tyler for introducing you. All the best to you, and I'm sure we'll get to hear more of you.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Rush. So with a big thank you to Rush Dorset, our performance guest, and another big thank you to our interview guest, Tyler Bell. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.